The final 4 seconds tick away. Davion walks it into the front court. The horn sounds, and the Sacramento Kings have won in a live or die last game scenario. Win or go home, and the Kings managed to win.
Not only do the Kings win, they may have put a stake in the Warriors dynasty. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff across the country, Infinity Sports Network. It felt like the end of something last night, Perloff, and I'm not going to predict what the Warriors front office is going to do, but with Klay Thompson's future hanging in the balance, he turns in an 0-for last night. He wasn't the only problem. The Warriors were outclassed and outmatched in almost every single part of this game.
It definitely felt like the end of the 2024 season. I mean, that's for sure. Yeah. But, okay, would you say the end of something? It could be the end of Klay Thompson. But does that mean, is that a significant end? Like, if Klay Thompson goes to, say, Orlando in free agency, does that mean that the core is changing, that they're not going to run it back in a sense? Like, tell me what you mean by end.
I mean, the end, Klay leaving.
Klay leaving, who's irrelevant now.
Well, yeah, but they kind of needed him a bit after the All-Star break. Okay. He wasn't terrible, but this is a bad way to end it. And you can't be doubling down and just giving, like, loyalty money to try to keep the band together when the band hasn't had a hit in a while. And so I don't know if Klay would be the only change. You know, this is the thing about this organization, and we're talking about the Warriors who lose last night to the Kings and the season's over. You only have how many years left to maximize Steph Curry?
One or two.
Okay, so he is still a very appealing player for, in this day and age of the NBA, for other stars to come and team up. And the Warriors have never been afraid of a big swing before. I don't know if I have that for you, but they obviously were interested in LeBron James at the trade deadline this year. Who knows what's going to happen with Giannis? We'll talk about that later on. Paul George is someone who's going to be out there. I don't think you can just do little things around the margins here if you're trying to get a fifth title with Steph Curry. This is going to have to be some major facelift reconstructive surgery, and I don't know how the Warriors are going to pull it off. I know that's what this team needs.
So you're saying they should add Paul George or something? Yes, of course. Is there a team in the league that should not add a superstar? But honestly, let's talk reality here. How are they supposed to get a young ascending superstar?
Well, it's Paul not George gonna isn't young.
But I mean, Paul George, yeah, even if you get Paul George, so you had Chris Paul this year, you're going to get a guy at the end who's a bargain. And honestly, they're not going to get Paul George. So somebody's going to get more money to Paul George, I think. So, I mean, I'm sort of penciling him on the Sixers roster.
You're decked out in Sixers gear day. You got a Dr. J jersey under there?
I figured I'd represent.
Allen Iverson shoes?
I'd represent today. No, I don't think they're going to get Paul George. And regardless, like, they only have really one option in my mind. They just got to hope that the two young guys, Kuminga and Moody, just ascend to stars.
That's not a plan.
They're 21. That's a plan because they're 21. They should be in college. People forget how young these guys are.
In college, not this day and age.
Well, right. They should. Well, regardless, though, they're so young. What if they maybe get Klay out of the way and hope that the young guys advance and meet Steph Curry where he is? That might be your best plan. I know this is not ideal. I'm not saying this is what they want to do, but I don't see how they're going to choose. They're not going to be able to trade Draymond Green for a real asset. The dude's getting tons of money. He doesn't fit on any other team. Does any other team need a 6'5 center who's an assist machine?
Well, the problem was is that you could have a 6'5 center when you were faster than everybody, and when you were a better shooter than everybody, and when you were crisper than everybody, and you were better passers than everybody. And that's just not what the Warriors are anymore. And it did feel like a real ending with a thud, because it's not like this team wasn't expected to do anything. This is a team that's $177 million into the luxury tax. Yeah. And shockingly, that's not even the highest you can be into the luxury tax. They have the biggest payroll in the entire league, but the ownership group has shown all in before. They can take their medicine to try to maximize the end of the Curry era. And again, you could say, well, of course everybody wants Paul George, but and you'll have some competition. But Curry and playing alongside Curry is extremely, extremely appealing. I'll tell you the one thing that the Warriors cannot do. They cannot be overly loyal here. We see this sometimes with teams, and it can drive a fan base crazy. And I know that the Warriors and the Northern California, you know, the Golden State, Bay Area, what am I trying to say? Bay Area fans are going to love Klay forever. But how long do you have to show loyalty? So here was Draymond Green. Carlos, can we play cut 12? He says he thinks the Warriors are going to do the right thing by Klay and show loyalty to him.
I got no reason to go into it like, oh, man, they're not going to do right by Klay. They did right by me. They've done right by Steph. They've done right by all of us. You know, Clay tore his ACL. They paid him $160 million. So I have no reason to think that our ownership group aren't going to take care of us the way we've taken care of this organization.
What do you guys, a Supreme Court? Is it a lifetime, like, appointments? Do you get to play the Warriors at the end of time? Let's hear more from Draymond. Cut 11. He says he trusts the Warriors to treat Clay with respect.
If Joe or Mike or anybody felt that it was best that this team moves forward without Clay, that wouldn't be the decision they make because they believe that, you know. They've shown nothing but respect, loyalty, love, trust us.
So you're telling me that even if they know it's the right move, they're not going to make it? What kind of team operates that way?
This is a teammate talking about his one of his good friend's contract. What would you expect him to say? Of course he's saying this. Of course he's going to say they should reward Clay. That doesn't mean anything for team building purposes at all, right?
It doesn't, but
I mean, what choice would Draymond have to say after the game?
Well, I don't know if you have to go that far to say, even if the organization knows it's not the right thing, they're going to do it anyway. That doesn't help Clay. How does that? You're acknowledging that this would not be the right move.
Is there any connection between Draymond's post-game press conference and what the Warriors are going to do? I would hope Draymond Green is running the show here. Of course he's going to say this. Wouldn't you say that about me, even if you knew I was on the way out? I would hope. So,
listen, we can't keep everybody. No, of course I would.
This is teammate talk. Yeah.
You're asking what kind of power does Draymond Green have in an organization where he was caught on camera punching a teammate, and the first question the organization asks is who leaked the tape, not why did he do this? And he of course has tons of power.
No, of course he does not. Do you think Draymond on that question would say, you know what, I've looked at this the luxury tax, and I think honestly it's time to move on from
you
Clay?
You don't think that Steph Curry had a hand in bringing Draymond back?
Regardless, what is Draymond going to say last night? I mean, is there any chance he goes, I've crunched the numbers and I love Klay Thompson, but I think it's time to move on?
All you have to do I love Klay Thompson and I can't imagine playing without him. Boom, period. You don't have to say they owe it to him. You don't have to say, they paid him $160 million. He is getting into Klay's bank account there. He's getting into his pocket because he's mentioning they paid him $160 million after he tore his ACL. Then he went on to tear the Achilles. And obviously, Klay's done a great job coming back from that. But
I would hope Draymond would say all this about Klay Thompson because they all owe each other a big favor here. So even if Klay doesn't come back, Draymond's helping his market for whatever team he goes to next. This is all good. You got to say this. And if the front office, you know, maybe they brought back Draymond because Draymond helped them win. That was a purely calculating move.
Draymond has helped them win, and he's also contributed to them losing as well because he's off the rails at times.
But they didn't bring back Draymond because Steph Curry wanted him there as a friend. They brought him back because they thought that he helped them win, and he definitely did, right? So they're kind of calculating in that sense. I don't think they're bringing back Klay at a big number. Honestly,
and I don't know who else is giving Klay any kind of big contract. He's a second unit guy at this point.
Yeah, there are some reports like a young team that needs a culture guy. I'll give him $30 million a year, which is not like nothing.
Magic are reportedly circling the waters. So I don't know if they saw anything last night to make them think that they want him. But
also, it doesn't seem like things are going pretty well with the Magic. Anyway, but that's a conversation another time.
Klay and Paul George, same age, just so we're clear. Like, Paul George is, let's get older. That is not a strategy either. I don't think they're going to get Paul George. I think they got to, I know this is not a plan. Just hope these young guys become stars. And Kuminga could.
Okay, he was good. He was basically the only really good Warrior in the second half last night in terms of scoring the ball. But I don't know if hope and pray is what you can bank on for the last 2-3 years of Steph Curry's prime.
Give me a better option.
Well, I'm saying big game hunting. I'm saying that, we were just talking about this in February. It's April. We were talking about this in February that they might be looking at LeBron. And I know the Lakers won last night. We'll talk about that and Zion's injury and everything. But they were clearly looking at upgrades, thinking about LeBron. Yeah. We're not sure what's going to happen with Giannis. You're not sure what's going to happen with Paul George. So there's a lot of moving parts around this thing. You can't just throw your hands up in the air and say, we tried. No. You're the Warriors with Steph Curry. You're trying to rip off another title while he's in his prime. You're going to, I know they think they're light years ahead. Let's see what they have this offseason. Because I think you need some changes.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Milwaukee, I'm calling up Golden State and saying, why don't you give me Jackson Davis for LeBron. Giannis. How are you getting Giannis? That's the plan, is to get Giannis or LeBron. Why don't you just get Luka? And why don't you give me Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
Luka's not available right now.
This is a real team with real salary cap issues.
LeBron's not so crazy. He could leave. I mean that's we'll talk about LeBron and his offseason. We'll do that summer long.
Okay, LeBron might be, but LeBron's 40. I mean, this is definitely not a position to try. Toward the end, he sort of did.
Well, I mean, a couple step back threes that maybe they could have used done without. But
I'll tell you, Zion, when he was on the court, was looking at LeBron like, man, that guy's 40. I'm going to blow right past him every
Zion
time.
Zion was taking it to him. He really was.
Okay, I'll give you maybe like a LeBron, but I don't think there's going to be a Giannis transformative player. I think they're going to have to go with an old guy who's available, just like they did this offseason with Chris Paul. Did not work at all. So maybe, but that's a tweak. To me, that means the core stays intact. The core is Steph Curry and Draymond Green and these young guys.
And Steve Kerr.
And listen, I understand what you're saying. You're right. They should be as aggressive as possible. I'm just not sure that's a realistic outcome here.
Okay, so let's play this out. And let's say that the Warriors, whether they bring back Klay or they don't, or they go with the young guys and they try to keep developing these young guys, and that's the plan, right? And that's the plan, and maybe you stay with Wiggins and, you know,
No one's taking Wiggins' contract.
No, I don't know. He's got 2 years left, I believe, in that a player option. It's about $26 million or so. But let's play this out. And let's say that you get more seasons like this. I'm not saying Draymond leaves for 14 games or whatever, but let's say you get more seasons like this where you're basically a mediocre team in the West, where you're hovering around 45 wins or 40 wins. It's not good enough to get you a top seed because the Western Conference is bonkers right now. And you never make it past the second round. What's going to be the reaction from the Warrior fan and the NBA fan when Steph is now past his prime and you'll look back at the last 5 years and you'll say they never went for it again? They never really tried again. They hoped Kuminga and Moody and Podzemski, all these guys, we hoped that they were going to grow into it, but you know what? They never did. I think Warrior fans would have a lot of regret. I think they would say, man, they really needed to. There was a pivot point after the 2023-2024 season, and they took one path, and they should have taken another.
What was it? I don't understand this other path. There is no other path.
It's the NBA. There's always a path.
Well, I mean, I don't think there is for this team. I don't think the cavalry's coming. The reality is they screwed up. They didn't screw up. I mean, they made a terrible pick in Weissman. And you look back at the last 5 years, they're not going to regret. They won a title. Yep. They eked out a title out of this old team. I just think the reality is I think you're living in a little bit of a fantasy world that old teams don't get old. I mean, that's the reality. Look at LeBron and the Lakers. I mean, they're sort of having the same kind of thing. It's really hard to build a super team around a guy who's in his late 30s. I don't think this option is out there for the Warriors. Everything you say, of course, you're right. They should be as aggressive as possible. But look, they don't even really want to. Isn't there a thought out there? They don't want to pay the luxury tax, as much luxury tax. So I don't know where they're going to get these guys from. Well, and Paul George, by the way, I don't see that as a surefire solution because he's old and injury prone too.
So until the Warriors front office and ownership stop paying the luxury tax, I'll never believe that they won't. They've been very all in. I think that they deserve the benefit of the doubt here. So until they actually do that and make these cost-cutting measures, I really can't say because they've been a good ownership group. They seized the moment. They realized what they had, and they appeared to spare no expense.
I think they need to build around the margins. I mean, they need to add one or two big veteran players and hope and pray that Moody and Kuminga just turn into Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Man, what a failure, hope and pray. 855-212-4227. No, listen, they're draft picks. I get it, but
failure, like where was their failure? What was their bad decision?
No, I'm saying in the future, moving forward, that would be the failure to not do everything you can to maximize.
What's the can?
I gave you three options, and I'm giving
Giannis,
you more.
Giannis is your option.
Well, we'll see about Giannis because that's what's kind of swirling around right now with a lot of things going on with the Milwaukee Bucks.
I would assume you need to send a gigantic haul to get Giannis away from Milwaukee. What did Golden State have to offer?
Well, you have salaries that could match. You do have that. And you, listen,
yeah, but
it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty. But here's what you're forgetting. This is the NBA, where the stars most times get to tell you where they want to go. I watched Kevin Durant say, I want to go to the Phoenix Suns and I'm not going anywhere else. And you want to know what? They made it work. So Giannis, it's not like, you know, if he actually does want to leave, and again, we'll get into this later. We're talking about the Warriors and their future right now and how they can maximize the end of Steph Curry's career. But if you're talking about someone like Giannis, if he does end up wanting to leave Milwaukee, this is going to be like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's going to tell them he's going to L.A. Or he's going to tell them I'm going to Golden State, and then everyone else is going to have to adjust.
Yeah, that's not happening. Not Golden. There's no way. Honestly, Bucks would be better off just letting Giannis sit there than take on a bunch of bad contracts from Golden State.
It doesn't work like that.
It will work. He's not going to Golden State. Maybe the Lakers. I like that move. That kind of makes sense. Milwaukee to L.A. That's a move we've seen before, obviously, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I just don't see, if you're looking at the assets of Golden State, there's no way they're going to outbid everyone for Giannis. And Bucks are just, I understand, superstar stuff from power, but come on, from the Bucks, like, oh, give me a 50-year-old Draymond, and what else are you going to give it? And Moses Moody for Giannis Antetokounmpo? No.
Well, I'm giving you three options. You're asking for them, and I'm giving you LeBron, Giannis, and Paul George, and I'm also giving you the line in the sand here. Or the roads, the two divergent roads here that it feels like the Warriors have in front of them. And one is to just keep going the way it's going. Run it back, maybe bring back Clay, maybe don't. Keep going with the young guys and hope that you can, you know, develop these dudes. And then the other one is really going full throttle and trying to maximize the end of Steph Curry's career, whatever that looks like. 855-212-4227. Want to hear from you. Which way do you think the Warriors should go? We know we're on in the Bay Area. Probably tough morning. Well, salty, I get it. Especially it's the Kings. Lighting the beam. Putting the dagger in. It was a long goodbye last night, too. 855-212-4227. It's Maggie and Perloff. Don't move.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. All right, we're talking about old NBA guys today. LeBron, Steph lost. LeBron won. So I think one of the big questions about this game is if Zion doesn't get hurt, would the Pelicans have won that game? And you guys think they would. I don't think. The Pelicans are not a great team. Everyone around Zion is meh to me. So I think the Lakers are going to win that game anyway. At some point, just LeBron early in the game took a charge from Zion Williamson and then said, I'm not going to get in his way again the rest of the game.
Well, LeBron took a couple hits last night.
Yeah, he took one from Zion, then he took one from Herb Jones. He's like, yeah, Herb, you can write it to me. I don't think LeBron just kind of stayed out of Zion's way the rest of the game. At the end of the game, I thought the Lakers were going to win that game. You saw to me why the Lakers are interesting because Anthony Davis can be really good when he wants to.
Yep.
And LeBron, for the most part, still has it going. He kind of got a little cold last night, kind of got a little tired on defense. But I still think I saw a contending team in the Lakers last night. Now they're 3-0 in the play-in tournament. Historically, I don't know if that's good.
It means you spent a lot of time in the play-in tournament.
But I think it's just like last year. Like it feels very much like last year where they are a play-in team who is not a play-in team. Does that make sense? They're like a real playoff team. So they'll play Denver. And honestly, I think they have just as good a shot as anyone against Denver. It doesn't feel like there's another team out there that Denver is more scared of than the Lakers. Because they do have LeBron, they have AD. You saw Austin Reeves is always contributing. And D'Angelo Russell can shoot now.
Was big last
night. Yeah, all of a sudden he's found his three-point shot. So they have all the elements to at least challenge the Nuggets. And as Magic tweeted the other day, Magic Johnson, they lose all the time, the Nuggets, but they play them close. So that's something. So playing them close
Magic.
Is the best you could do.
I love it. The Associated Press of Twitter feeds.
I saw a big sort of versatile team last night that is interesting to me. I'm not writing off the Lakers in the series. I think they're probably the best shot against this Nuggets team.
They are, but you mentioned it down the stretch. So Lakers win, obviously. They were up big, though. They were up 18 points, and the Pelicans erased that 18-point deficit largely on the back of Zion Williamson, a little Jose Alvarado. And then as they're tying the game with 3 minutes left to go, that's when Zion got hurt.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's had a 40-point game last night. He was awesome in the fourth quarter when he started really, I mean, he was good in the whole game, but when he really started getting going in the fourth and you could taste it, this was like, all right, here's what we've been really waiting for with Zion, right? This is the thing that we've been waiting for. And then he gets hurt, he leaves the game, and he never comes back. And we don't hear till much, much later that it's a hamstring. And now they've got to rest up because they're going to be playing the Kings, obviously, to see who has the right to go on and play Oklahoma City as the top seed.
But, I mean, they also, too, there was a couple Trey Murphy 45-foot shots that there was some definitely, like, all of a sudden the Pelicans got hot from three. I don't think that, I'm not sure Zion was definitely winning that game. There were 3 minutes left when he went out. Yeah, it felt like pumping there in New Orleans, but either way, well, the Lakers were going to get out of this play-in.
Okay, so maybe, but if we're just going through the end of that game, then we can talk about the Lakers and what it means for them facing Denver in a second. They were really found something in the fourth quarter when you had Ingram and McCollum were not on the court because these guys were not great last night. Obviously, Ingram's coming back from injury, and McCollum was 1-for-9 from three-point land, not helping, a lot of empty offensive possessions. And because Zion had that other team around him with Alvarado off the bench, and you mentioned Murphy, they really had something cooking here. I thought they were going to win that game. And also, LeBron played 41 minutes last night. AD played 40. You know, that's the kind of thing that makes you pause for a second if you're a Laker fan. Like, okay, yes, could we go toe-to-toe with the Nuggets? But if you're talking game after game in the series that LeBron's got to play 41 minutes, you're going to get tired LeBron, which looks like a lot of settle for threes and threes that hit the front of the rim. So they've got to do this balancing act here. I'm excited to see the series, and maybe the Lakers can win a game or two, but not if LeBron has to play this kind of minutes load.
Yeah, I mean, it's playoffs. There's no minutes load talk here. He's been kind of resting.
And they're not going to win.
Well, I mean, listen, they're gigantic underdogs. So they're going against the defending champion who looks just as good this year as they did last year. I just think that at least they feel like they have a puncher's chance because maybe they can outlast the Nuggets somehow. I have no idea how they're going to do this. Rui Hachimura played really well in last year's playoffs and showed up again. I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but at least you have a puncher's chance, which I think the best of the Lakers can hope for this season. I don't know. I'm not sure what to say. Are the Lakers favorites? Of course not, but they're going to have to face the Nuggets at some point anyway. Everybody is. So you might as well do it now before LeBron gets even more tired. You think 40 minutes in the play-in? What about if he had to play Minnesota and play 45 minutes a game for seven games and then go to play Denver? This is probably the best possible scenario.
855-212-4227. Are you giving the Lakers what kind of chance? How do you want to phrase that?
A puncher's chance. And also, too, they had to win last night. Everyone who thought they should lose at Tesla, I think the Kings own the Lakers. They would have definitely beaten them. The way the Kings shot last night, if they did that to the Lakers, they win easily, too. I think they're 4-0 this year against the Lakers, and all of a sudden they're dangerous from three-point land. I assume everyone thinks the Kings are going to advance, too. That'll be a fun series.
But don't the Kings, what's their record against the Pelicans this year, Bogish? I feel like you have this. Right, they're 0-5 against the Pelicans. So,
but Brandon Ingram's coming off an injury. I assume Zion's gone for at least, 8 to 10 months? A lot of those games.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to see Zion until, what's a year from now?
All-Star
we're going
to
see him maybe around All-Star break.
You think it's that bad?
I mean, it's exact same injury that happened against the Sixers last time he got hurt. It was just a normal play. He walked off. He's like, something feels wrong. And then we didn't see him again for a calendar year. There's no way a non-contact injury like that is working out.
Man, it's so disappointing.
But him, though, isn't it also, though, last time, wasn't it also like he gains a lot of weight during the time where he's hurt, and that also becomes part of the problem, too, that he can't really rehab the way he's supposed to.
He looks jacked right now.
He looks awesome right now.
If he left with 3 minutes left and couldn't come back in that game with all the adrenaline flowing through his body and the season on the line, you think he's coming back after 24 hours? No.
Okay, so I thought about that. I'm like, I can't believe he couldn't gut it out. You know, that's like the first thing your mind goes to. You know, if you could actually walk off the court, how did you not get back out there for at least the last minute or whatever? And what I think happened, I don't know, were they saying, listen, maybe he could play in the next game against the Kings. So let's keep him out now. We know we have a second shot at this thing. We have the home game. So let's keep him out and we'll just live to fight another day. And then if they can beat Sacramento, who they've had their number now for, what'd you say again, Bogish?
0-5.
0-5. Then maybe you're getting a first round matchup with the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's still possible.
I hope that's the case, that they were like, oh, maybe we can get it back. But I think, and I don't know the injury. It might even be the other leg. But if it's a repeat of the last hamstring injury, I think that they're like, oh, this is it. If he's not coming back for the end of the Lakers game, I'll bet anyone here he's not going to play. And if he plays, he'll play for 8 minutes. I mean, he is so explosive. If you take his hamstring away, what is Zion? He's definitely not a guy who can hang around the perimeter and not jump. Yeah. He's got to be full Has he ever come back from an injury quicker than we thought? It's the exact opposite.
No, but at least to EJ's point, like his body's in pretty good shape right now. It appears to be. I don't know if that even matters for a hamstring. Andrew Bogish is here. He's got more headlines, even more headlines.
And they're all sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers. Apply online today. My beloved NHL needs no gimmicks like the play-in tourney. They simply decide everything within their 82-game season. The final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference came down to last night. The Capitals were in with a win in Philadelphia, but those Flyers and the Red Wings also alive for that final spot. So we're in Philly. The Caps and Flyers tied at one. Late in regulation. Philly has to win in regulation to make the postseason. Overtime doesn't do that trick. So head coach John Tortorella went all in and pulled his goalie with multiple minutes left, hoping that extra skater would get the go-ahead goal. He was wrong.
Along the right side, they pull the goalie, and they score! T.J. Oshie puts it in for the right circle as Erson went to the bench, and Oshie has given the Capitals a lead. 3 minutes to go.
That's John Walton on Caps Radio. Now here's the kicker. Ooh, for the Flyers.
Yeah.
About a minute before Tortorella's gamble, the Red Wings had scored with 3 seconds left in their game to force overtime in Montreal. And by doing that, they eliminated the Flyers from playoff contention, so there was no reason for Tortorella to take such a gamble against Washington.
I got info on the Detroit game right after they scored their empty netter. I think it happened pretty close together. But I was pulling them. I'm pulling them, and that was the right time to pull them.
Yeah, it was so close. There's no way he could have found out fast enough unless they were watching the game on the bench to make him not pull the goalie, which when the original scenario presented itself was the right thing to do. In the end, the Caps win in Philly 2-1, so they get the last wild card spot. They'll face the Rangers in round one starting this weekend.
I don't understand why anyone is mad at Tortorella. Like, what's he supposed? What do the Flyers care? What they have, unless they happen to know that it was a minute difference. I'm hearing a lot of, like, is Detroit like blaming the Flyers for this? This feels really unfair.
I think there's also angst in Philly because they struggled down the stretch and missed the postseason when they were in position for almost the entire, like, 3/4 of the year to make it.
Right, but there's no real backlash against what Tortorella did.
No, because the timing was too tight.
But I have seen on Twitter, like, people are killing the Flyers.
Well, because it's a backfire when you get the empty netter. That's just, it's a sad way for it to end. It's rare.
Well, no, but everyone's saying he screwed up the competitive balance of the playoffs, that's just not fair.
No, and the Red Wings did win their game, so they would have gotten in had Washington lost. But again, it was 1-1 late in regulation,
yes.
And if the Caps had gotten to overtime, they would have been okay anyway. So it was not as reckless as people wanted to.
Because this thing with the, how many years now for the Red Wings?
Oh, not in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's I saw Buffalo and the Red Wings are the two longest streaks
and
in
Buffalo's
pro sports
13.
Right now. Yeah. So anyway, I feel like this is unnecessary heat on my hometown team.
Yes.
Which is rare because usually we deserve
still?
It.
Yeah. You're a Flyer fan still?
No,
okay.
Definitely not. Not the last 8 games.
You're the biggest Golden Knights fan.
If they had made the playoffs, yes. I love the Golden Knights.
Elsewhere on ice, the Canucks clinched the Pacific Division with a 4-1 decision over the Flames. The Panthers won the Atlantic by beating the Leafs 5-2 and the Bruins losing to Ottawa 3-1. And the Jets clinched home ice in round one with Colorado with a 4-3 win over Seattle. Now to the NBA, and Zion putting up those 40 points and 11 boards, but then that early exit, left leg soreness. The Lakers took advantage, getting a 110-106 win in New Orleans. They're the 7th seed. They'll face the Nuggets in round one. The Pels now host the Kings Friday to decide number 8. Here's head coach Willie Green postgame on Zion.
Right now, we know it's left leg soreness, and he's going to get some imaging on it tomorrow, and we'll figure out more. That's the report that I got back. I haven't talked to him or anything like that, but we'll see how we feel. We'll see what happens tomorrow when we get the results back.
The Kings, meanwhile, have left Sacramento, going through Chicago to get to New Orleans for this game on Friday, all thanks to their 118-94 rout of those Warriors. Keegan Murray, 32 points, 24 from De'Aaron Fox. Mookie Betts, 5 hits, 2 RBI, 2 runs scored. The Dodgers 6-2 home win over the Nationals. Betts leads the majors with a .388 batting average. Ranger Suarez, a complete game shutout for the Phillies. 5-0 winners over the Rockies, and the Blue Jays held off the Yankees 5-4. The Bombers have dropped 3 in a row, will lose their first series of this season.
Wait, sorry, why is anyone throwing a complete game right now? I get it's a shutout, but it wasn't a no-hitter. No, I know that, but it seems to really go against what every baseball, like if you have a no-hitter going this early in the season, I get it, but it's still a question because you're still kind of working your way into, you know.
Yeah, he threw 112 pitches.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, do they not like him? Do they not care about him hurting himself? Dude. He's actually been really good,
too. He's awesome, yeah.
But I just didn't understand. I thought, wow, a complete game shutout, good for you.
Wait, is 100
a 5-0 game too? Like,
that's what I'm
if
saying.
It's 1-0, maybe say, okay, look, we want to get this game, but wait, I mean, 5-0 over the Rockies is as locked in as you could possibly be at this point.
Wait, is 112 that egregious though?
It's not egregious, but it's a lot for this day and age.
This day and age,
to go for a complete game shutout, for a no hitter.
Like if it was a normal game, I feel like that number is at least manageable for them. But
I mean, maybe you're really trying to save the bullpen right now and try to give them a night off. But again, at what cost?
In
like
April?
You're up five runs to EJ's point. It is April, which, listen, there's teams who definitely burned out their bullpens in April. We've seen that
game was over. That was one of the fastest games I've ever seen. It was like 8:15. And I'm like, Phillies win 5-0. Maybe the speed of the game and the pitcher being warm. I'm trying to think of an excuse here because now you have me nervous that the Phillies are burning out their starters.
This game took 2 hours and 7 minutes.
Yeah.
No baseball.
2 hours and 7 minutes. Yeah. They didn't even have time to pull him. It was moving too fast.
Can you even get drunk in that amount of time? Yeah. Game? How many beers can you have in 2 hours?
No, he's back out there. Wait, we didn't get the bullpen ready.
Bryce Homer, too. You didn't mention that.
No, on purpose. The Miami Dolphins will exercise their fifth-year options on Jalen Waddle and linebacker Jalen Phillips, who's coming off an Achilles tear. Waddle just saw the Eagles give Devontae Smith a 3-year extension worth $51 million guaranteed. And golf's ratings swoon continued at the Masters despite Scottie Scheffler's best effort. Sunday's final round on CBS averaged only 9.58 million viewers. That's a 20% decrease from last year. ESPN did say that its Thursday and Friday coverage did very well, mostly with Tiger playing in those windows. But overall, it seems this is a blame almost exclusively on the PGA versus LIV. These ratings losses for the last year or so have been significant and consistent for PGA.
Which is crazy because we talked about this, right? Whether this is going to matter because you can have all the PGA and LIV guys together for these majors. So, like, who cares? The audience should come back, but they're not. Mm. I think also it's like this was a tight pack, you know, for the most part. I know Scheffler ends up pulling away on Sunday and he won by 4 strokes, but it's not like he was ahead by 6 strokes or 7 strokes. I mean, this was still
competitive. No, I mean, one point there was like a 3- or 4-way tie as they made the turn on Sunday.
I was shocked. And we talked about Scottie Scheffler and him being the face of golf and whether or not that's a good thing. I know 2 years ago when he won, the ratings were back up around 10 million or so. But again, is this like a ho-hum Scottie Scheffler at all?
I don't think we're on.
I think it is.
No, I don't think,
Scottie Scheffler puts seats in the butts. Butts in the seats. What's the expression?
Yeah, butts in the seats.
That's awkward.
I don't think we're on specific.
Uncomfortable.
Ouch.
No, thank you.
that might get viewers.
Put a seat in your butt.
Man, you really gotta.
I am terrible with little expressions like that. But Scottie Scheffler, it turns
hell of
out,
an image.
We actually argued on Monday. I was like, it's good to have Scottie Scheffler as a dominant force in the sport. Man, was I wrong.
No, but I don't think you are. I think this is about the bigger issues within the game.
No, I still don't think it is. If you're talking, obviously, if Tiger was in contention, it would have been twice that number.
But right. But Tiger, there's always a Tiger bump.
Yeah. Right.
This issue has existed at every major event for since LIV happened, the ratings have started to slowly creep down. And they've been consistently bad at every major event, whether they're an actual major or not, for the last, 18 months. It's not just about Scheffler. He maybe could help it if he was playing shirtless and chugging beers, but it's bigger than just one person. Right.
But I thought last year's Masters had a pretty good rating.
Last year, but they were on Easter Sunday. So the idea that last year's number was this much north of this year's number was because people were home or out watching things. They're giving Easter credit for last year. Last year was more of the outlier in the last 3 or 4 years than this one being down is.
I think it's Scheffler. I think it's kind of a little like UConn basketball, too. Like, nobody, you want some real drama. There wasn't. I think UConn, the title game didn't do any huge number, too, because everyone knew UConn was going to win. Kind of boring, kind of mechanical. I think they need a new face. I've decided move on from Scheffler.
Wow, that's
give me a young guy.
Big 180 from Monday when you love Scheffler.
Look at the final group. I mean, honestly, Kalmor, Kawa, and Scheffler. It's like, what is that, a nice off? Like, what's going on here? This is not, it's not Tiger and Phil coming down the back nine. You have to admit, it's not the sexiest group there.
Well, the other part about this, the fact that ESPN is saying that they were really up on Thursday and Friday because of Tiger, you know, again, it just kind of shows there's been a lot of guys who have come like, oh, this is going to be the guy post Tiger, and we've got the next guy, and they just don't. And that's not their fault, I guess. It's not.
Yeah.
But they just have not found that guy yet. Just like the NBA couldn't find their guy after Jordan until LeBron came. It was a long time.
What if Scheffler starts chasing major records or something like that? If
you got to wait for a while for
that. Yeah, he wins 5 or 6. I think if Scheffler gets really, really good, because we've seen other guys win 2 majors and sort of fade a little bit. I think there was a point where, like, Dustin Johnson got hot. There was a lot
Jordan
of guys.
Was supposed to be
Brooks
the next
Koepka.
Guy.
Brooks Koepka certainly is a great player in the majors. They need somebody to go like 8 deep.
But you said the other day, golf, like the real personality guys are the outliers. Golf likes golfers. They like guys that play well. They like dominance. They like expertise.
Yeah.
They like Scottie Scheffler. They like Jack Nicklaus. I don't think boring is necessarily the problem.
Right.
Like, this problem is, because half of the good players in the world have completely disappeared.
Yeah.
It's taken so much cachet away from the sport.
This is where I do agree with Bogus. I think the live part has played a role just because, again, you get no momentum on anything. I don't even know where to find a live. Like, if I wanted to go and watch now and say, oh, Bryson DeChambeau, I'm a fan now because, you know, you guys keep telling me and bringing up the fact that I said off the air that I thought he looked handsome one day. Thank you for continuing to say that.
I didn't know you said it.
I wouldn't know where to find him.
He's the MIP of looks. I'll go out there and say Bryson DeChambeau looked great. I don't know why.
MIP,
he looked so puffy before. I don't know if he's using a new skincare routine, but he looks great. But that being said,
that
like, I do really disagree. No one ever knew what the PGA event after the Masters was. I mean, do you know what it is this week?
Nobody, but Scheffler's playing
actually,
in it.
Yeah, and I actually do because it's always in Hilton Head and it's always Hootie's event.
Oh,
you should know that.
You should know that. You guys
it's
are friends.
Always Hootie's event, the week after the Masters.
That's the name of it, Hootie's event.
In Hilton Head or Myrtle Beach, it's always Hootie's event.
Okay.
Because it's been a big radio thing. We almost went one
year. That's what Hootie always invites us down for. Darius always invited us down for.
Yep.
That's a PGA event? I thought it was some fun Myrtle Beach thing.
No.
Why didn't you guys go if you got invited?
It cost money.
No.
Were you not expecting that?
Well, I think it was a lot of ESPN guys. You know, Darius is really close with everyone at ESPN. I just think that the PGA event, it's not a big enough thing. You know, no PGA tournament that's not a master. We would go to management? No, I think we would have gone. We went to Pebble Beach every year because it's Pebble Beach. It's insane. But that's the thing. I just don't think these PGA events have ever moved the needle. If Tiger was there, I think it's actually Scotty. I've changed my mind.
Well, but you know, move the needle or not, the ratings are down from a previously higher number. So
but ratings are down for every sport except the NFL.
Right, but the point is there were people watching and now they're not. So you can't say that they never moved the needle. They established repetitive ratings numbers that they're no longer matching, and it lines up with when the live split happened.
All right, I mean,
it does bring some facts.
Yeah, I can't argue with those facts, but I still think, like, most people who I know who watch the Masters do not watch the weekly PGA events. It never did. Sorry, Bogus, I didn't know you were such a huge off-week guy.
I'm not.
This is his new, this is, you know, Bogus watching PGA.
The other day, I should have, when you were breaking down the leaderboard of the Valspar Open, I was like, what? This must be for an update, but I guess it's a real passion.
Just for fun,
passion project.
I don't think the Valspar's happened yet, by the way. That was that Shell Houston Open you're thinking of.
Thank you so much for Bogus. Coming up, should they pay or should they not? We're talking about some big-time quarterbacks in the NFL. Could be on the cusp of some major paydays. Don't move. It's Maggie Perloff.
Seats in the butt.
All right. Been told there's a theme to today's rejoin music from Carlos.
Good luck figuring it out.
John Denver?
Well, you got the artist, but that's not the theme.
Okay.
Well, it's singers who have the same last name as a team that is in the NBA playoffs.
That is very, very close.
Or a city that's in the NBA playoffs.
That's exactly what it is. I'm playing, wow. I'm playing songs for the Western Conference teams. And since I don't know any artists from Denver, I'm just going to play John Denver for the Nuggets.
So I was right. Wow.
Furloff.
There's nobody like, I guess Houston's not in the playoffs. That's a possible. Allen Houston.
Wait. Hold on. Let's get this straight. You're playing artists who hail from cities of Western Conference playoff teams, but you didn't know anyone from Denver, so now you're playing John Denver.
Correct.
There's got to be some singers from Denver.
Who was the last one?
Song was Blake Shelton, who's from Oklahoma.
Ah, yeah, would not have got that.
Hey, why'd you choose the Western Conference? Just
because they played?
Yeah, okay. They played last night.
All right.
I know.
Okay, so Minnesota has got to be Prince, right?
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Come on. Can we get there? See, now I'm not going to play Prince out of principle.
You're going to go L.A., you got Tupac.
No, I'm going to play just something really dumb for Minnesota now. Watch, you'll see. You ruined it.
What's some kind of polka player? Some polka band?
No, it's an interesting one.
Polka taking strays here.
Who's from Phoenix? Oh, the Phoenix. Should we know?
No, there's got to be.
From Arizona, there's got to be somebody.
There's people you can't from take everywhere.
Yeah, but there's a lot of quarterbacks from Phoenix. I can't think of a lot of big musicians from Phoenix off the top of my head.
Well, what about Sacramento? Let's go there now. Leland is on the line, wants to talk about the game last night. Kings win, Warriors go home, dynasty could be over. Hey, Leland, how are you?
Good morning, Maggie and Perloff. I'm doing well, thanks. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. What's your thoughts on the game last night?
All I can say is, wow, what an entertaining game. It seemed like the Kings just pulled away at one point. I think they're up 18 points in the first half, and they're taking the ball away, preventing all the stars on the other side, particularly Steph Curry. He didn't seem to be a factor. So I wanted to ask you, is this the end of an era for the Warriors? Is Sacramento that good, or did the Warriors just play bad? I was really happy with the result, and
I'm sure you were, Leland. I think you got a little from column A, a little from column B. Not a cop-out answer. Mm-hmm. Just want to explain it. One, Sacramento was so ready for Golden State last night. They were more physical. They were all over Curry. He did, six turnovers in this game? I mean, they were relentless around Curry, and then no one else could really make a shot. So, Mike Brown, great game plan. A little revenge factor, too, for the Warriors beating the Kings last year in a seven-game series. And then on the flip side, I do think that the Warriors need major reconstructive surgery if you're going to get the most out of Steph Curry's prime.
Well, I would not get too excited about the Kings. It was at home, and Klay went 0 for 10. The Warriors are, I don't think they will ever win if Klay goes 0 for 10.
That's a good point.
I mean, is it possible? I can't think of a scenario where they come out of that. And I don't even know what happened. I mean, can we circle back? How does Klay Thompson, one of the great shooters of all time, go 0 for 10 in a must-win game?
Yeah, 0 for 6 from 3, 0 for 10. And listen, the game plan was Curry. The game plan wasn't, shut down Klay Thompson. The game plan was try to get to Curry.
Yeah, they were all over Curry. They were definitely doing a Caitlin Clark defense on Curry. I was really shocked at how small Klay came up, which maybe is for the best, because I know you want them to rip that Band-Aid and move on and start a new era, at least without Klay. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a disrespect to Klay. I'm just saying, if you are trying to maximize the end of Curry, how do you do this? And that's trying to take advantage of another star who wants to come play with Curry. I'm not seeing a lot of bands here from Phoenix.
No, I saw. Did you see Stevie Nicks hails from Phoenix?
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
But I don't even know if that's true. I have to fact check that.
We indeed found an artist born in Phoenix, so we'll be good.
Well, if it's Stevie Nicks, then I'd love to hear a little.
Definitely not Stevie Nicks.
Okay.
But
someone else?
Yeah.
Get to that next. Also, we're talking about the Lakers and how much of a shot do they have against Denver after beating the Pelicans last night. They're into the playoffs. LeBron James, 41 minutes in a win. We get to all things LA next.